Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
Here comes the ball. The lob. The jam! Oh, what a monster jam by DeAndre Jordan!
Up, Rob.
Hey. How's it going?
All right. Of course, Utah plays Golden State today.
the suddenly broken Warriors.
Yeah, jeez. Anyways, just pulling up the standings and everything.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I think the summary is good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's that much else to talk about, just playoffs or no playoffs. Probably focus a little bit more on the game today. I don't think there's any big news stories. Tyrone and CJ and possibly Gallinari are all coming back on Tuesday, so that's kind of a big deal, I guess, but, like...
Mm-hmm.
Who knows if it actually matters. I already got a few Twitter questions. A couple of them are pretty good. So that could take a decent amount of time, too.
Okay, cool. Awesome. All right, let me see some of these box scores. I saw the second half of this game. I didn't see the full one. I haven't seen any of the last four games.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I want to see the. I will eventually see the Bucks game, but I didn't bother with the losses just because.
Yeah. That's fine.
I don't think it's a good deal.
I don't think the games. We can talk about this one, but I don't think the specific games really have to matter. Bigger picture stuff at this point, really.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, cool. Let's get started. Okay, in 3, 2. Well, we got to figure out this intro music thing, but we'll get to it.
So I did ask somebody.
Yeah.
I haven't actually looked on Blog Talk, but I believe somebody did say to me that they do have stock music. I forget who it was. I asked around on Twitter.
Okay.
I'll need to look for that and see who it was and make sure that they still do have that kind of stuff. But I think they do have, like, just standard intro stuff somewhere. So
that should work. Sounds good. Perfect. All right. All right, we'll start in 3, 2, 1. What's up, everyone? It's the Lob, the Jam, the podcast coming to you fresh off a Clipper win, which has been kind of a rarity these days, but a great win nonetheless. 117-106 in Toronto, outscoring the Raptors by that margin in the fourth quarter. Pretty great game. Tobias Harris, Lou Williams, of course, both score over 20+. And another quality win on the road for the Clippers. The Clippers don't have the greatest standings or win-loss record. They're only 19-19. But including those 19 wins are wins over the Raptors, the Celtics, the Rockets, the Warriors, and those are the four teams with the best records in the league. So kind of a cool thing, even on this Clipper season, that could still inevitably be heading for the lottery. How are you doing, Rob?
I'm doing well. It was a good win. It was a fun game to watch for everything outside of the first 6 minutes or so. So I've been enjoying the NCAA tournament for whatever that's worth. How are you doing?
I am also doing well. I have not watched 1 second of live NCAA basketball this year, but I have watched a lot of highlights, and they've been
You're
fun
really
to watch.
Not missing much. You're really not missing much. like, the tournament is exciting just because of, like, the format. You know, it's single elimination, so every game matters. And while the effort in college basketball, you know, how people say that's the difference between that and the NBA, that's silly. But still, when every game is do or die, you see a ton of, like, really, like, phenomenal, you know, effort, if nothing else, from the players. The problem is really just execution. I mean, the defense is horrible. A lot of them play zone. The offenses are just so rough, not even because they run bad offenses, but just because players are missing all these shots that people who are used to watching the NBA are used to seeing them make. Like, all these open threes and these just slightly contested layups, they just miss all these shots, and it's very frustrating. So I you're not really missing that much. It's fun, but most of it is just not very good basketball. It is what it is.
Yeah, I've spent more effort really chatting with people, talking about how much fun they're having watching the madness, but really I'm just not very impressed by it. And my favorite thing is, like, when a player hits a three-pointer to tie the game or play a team in the lead or whatever, a three-pointer that they would have at almost all times during the game, because who's going to guard you out there, really? Like, who shoots well from three? There's, like, a handful of players. It's just pretty bad basketball. I mean, I'll watch the championship game like I generally do, or maybe pay a little bit more attention to the Final Four run. But it's just not very, very good basketball to me. I mean, I remember watching Joaquin Noah's team a few years ago when they were constantly making the finals and thinking, wow, that's a good team. There's a lot of NBA players on that team. But unless you have a super team, like, you know, that team, or I want to say when DeMarcus Cousins was also in the tournament, mm-hmm. he had a great team. Like, unless there's a team that has multiple NBA players, it's just such bad basketball. And even then, it's just not fun watching these guys just own whoever they're playing. It's just, I don't know. It's just kind of boring to me. But it is good in a way that we would get to scout some possible prospects mm-hmm. for the Clippers. Something we can talk about a little bit now. First off, how'd you like that game? I know you were talking about how it was entertaining, but I really watched the second half of this game. The first half, they were losing pretty decently, and I didn't bother. But I did start watching the second half, and they had a really good second half. Defensively, really turned it up, as Bruce Bowen and Ralph Lawler were to mention over and over again. And the team played really, really well. Lou Williams turned it on. He was vintage to end the game, just entirely put the Raptors out. Just on his own, just put them out of their misery. He was fantastic. Tobias Harris was, of course, good the whole game. How'd you like this game? How do you like this team right now and where they're headed?
Well, I think it's tough, right, because this was a great win, I think, by anybody's standards. They're playing in Toronto against a really good team. The Raptors were 30-6 at home before this game. They were down 18 early in the first quarter. They just looked so bad, and they fought their way back into it in the first half and kept fighting and scratching and clawing and were able to put themselves up, and then were able to close it behind Lou Williams. And really, this game had the hallmark of so many Clippers games this year. Obviously, the closing performance by Lou Williams is one, but the overall just effort and energy and around the rim dominance by Montrezl Harrell against the poor Raptors big men who just did not have a prayer at stopping him. And they're good too. Pascal Siakam and Jakob Poeltl are good players, but they had no answers for Montrezl Harrell. Everybody on the roster, just about who played outside of maybe Sam Decker, who got three garbage minutes in the first half, contributed positively. Some of them were better than others, but everybody had their moment to shine. And it was just a team effort, and they fought and they had heart, and that's just what we're used to. So on one hand, I like this team. I like this team a lot. They're fun. They play really hard, and they're good. They're legitimately good. I still don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I also don't really think it matters that much. I think that this team is a really good example of why, when people have a mentality of our team needs to be fighting for a championship, whether it's because they're a championship contender now or because they're a young, promising, up-and-coming team that has all these prospects and they're, you know, they're going to be good in a few years, that the mentality of only those teams are really where it's at. I think it's just mistaken. I think this Clippers team is so much more memorable than the last 2 years of the Chris Paul era, and they're more fun, and yeah, they're not nearly as good. They're not half as good as those teams were, but they're more memorable, and I'm going to remember this season for a long time, and that's worth something. And yeah, I mean, playoffs or not, I think most Clippers fans are happy with this season and happy with the way this team is going. I wrote in the preview, it didn't end up being that much about the game, but I talked about how the Raptors have really broken through this year because they have all these young guys on their bench, and they're not stars, but they have all these rotation players who can contribute minutes. And that's the one thing the Clippers lacked during the Chris Paul Lob City era, and which they're finally starting to develop. Now we've seen Juwan Evans and Darius Thornwell and Tyron Wallace, and to a much lesser extent, CJ Williams and Jamal Wilson, just because those guys probably aren't going to be, I mean, Wilson already isn't, but they're not really parts of the Clippers' future. But all these younger guys, untested, who are getting minutes and showing themselves, that's the start to having a team, a roster that you can really build around and shape. And that's what the Raptors have done. They didn't give away all their draft picks for these mediocre veterans and select these guys who really just didn't have that much promise and were topping out as like one or two skill role players. They drafted well and they developed well and they kept playing these guys even when they didn't look that good, and it's paid off for them. And I think the Clippers have kind of learned from that. It's still really early on in this new team, this rebuilt team, but I think there's a lot of hope to be found from this season, both in terms of just the small picture of this team is fun and the big picture of the team's front office looks really competent and they have a direction and they know what they're doing. So I'm really happy with this season.
Yeah, me too. I'm happy too. there is kind of a, you know, a question as far as, well, are you happy that the Clippers played well this season and 39, 34 now, and probably not going to make the playoffs, but you know, versus them trying their hardest to unload Lou Williams, unload DeAndre Jordan, unload their stars for draft picks / whatever. Is there a part of you that kind of wishes that you saw it the other way? Are you happy? The fact that this is a memorable season, does that trump the idea that maybe they could have gotten some assets out of these players? Are you happy that Lou Williams is staying for the next few years? DeAndre is maybe going to be re-signed rather than just traded outright without the possibility of re-signing.
I think I'm okay with it, really. Those two guys in particular, I think Avery Bradley probably should have been moved if at all possible. But outside of that, I don't really see many guys on the roster, even the ones who are leaving this summer, that the Clippers really could have dealt. I mean, theoretically, if they knew they didn't want to bring Austin Rivers back, they could have traded him, but he's been pretty good this year and he's not going to be that expensive. So he seems somebody who they should re-sign. He's still young. Lou Williams, they got on an absolute bargain deal. There's such a little chance he's ever as good again as he has been this season. I think the Clippers probably know that, but they still signed him for not very much. And as for DJ, he's been so up and down this season, and it's clear that in a couple years, he's probably not going to be a star, much less maybe not even a starter-level player. But I think there is something to be said for some roster continuity and having those veterans on your team that they age with the team and they become these mentors and this glue in the locker room, like Nick Collison with the Thunder or Udonis Haslem with the Heat or Dirk Nowitzki with the Mavericks. And all those teams are very different from the Clippers. But I think there is value to holding on to those guys and having one or two players who continually stick around and provide some culture continuity. I think that's valuable. So Lou Williams, I'm happy with just on a basketball term. I think DJ, I don't want the Clippers to pay him like too much money, but I think in the next year or two, he'll probably be worth it. And I think just in terms of having that kind of presence is valuable. So I'm fine with it. I still wish they'd flip Bradley. Maybe they knew that other teams had caught on to his injury and weren't going to trade much for him. Maybe they still just want to get him on the cheap this summer. I don't know. But I'm honestly fine with it. I really am. And the Blake Griffin trade, even with Bradley's lost season, looks better and better the pick is almost certainly going to be in the lottery at this point. It's probably could be in the low teens. And Tobias Harris has been awesome.
Yeah, the Blake Griffin trade is now really a no-brainer more and more and more as days go by. I'm going to miss Blake, but I think a lot of me was just emotionally attached to him. It's nice that DeAndre has been so good this year with his, you know, with his blocks aside being low. But aside from that, just being 12 and 15 without Chris Paul all season, I think is a real boon to his stock and to the people who are probably doubters in him and will be doubters of him forever. People will notice that DeAndre Jordan shot 61% from the free throw line this year. They're not going to care. They're just going to be like, the Clippers are the Clippers again. And that's a really stupid thing, but whatever. Austin Rivers' improvement. Tyrone Wallace, who hopefully will be a Clipper long term. Hopefully we can find that out sooner than later. Gallinari, as badly as Gallinari has played, really as badly as he's missed games, I have a lot of hope for him that he can be good, even though he will be overpaid during his 10 years as a Clipper. I really like how Gallinari could fit with this team. I think this is the perfect type of team for him. It reminds me a lot of his Nuggets teams when they traded Carmelo Anthony, just like loaded. And he has a very specific niche that he can fulfill on this team. I really hope he can stay healthy. It's been a really fun year. And, you know, I think objectively, I was always like, well, it would be smart to just trade everybody. Even if you can get a second rounder for Bradley, do it. And, you know, granted, I'm sure that could have been available, but the Clippers might have just been looking just to get one first rounder rather than two second rounders, a la that Alfred Payton deal. But it's a lot of feelings this season. I've had a lot of feels. It's been very interesting in that way. But at the end of the day, I'm pretty proud of the Clippers, even though I'm pretty sure like this team will be an afterthought to the average NBA fan. I have really enjoyed it. I really hope that they can keep Harrell for a long time. I think he would be a great person to keep on. Milos Teodosic, I could live without. Austin Rivers, I think, has proven his value to this team. DeAndre has proven his value. I'm glad Lou Williams is staying. And if we keep those guys, and Gallinari, of course, who we're stuck with, but if we can keep those guys and just kind of have a revolving cast of players and maybe get one more starter / semi-star type player, the team will be good for a long time. And that's cool. And having all these assets, as, you know, Daryl Morey, as much as I hate that guy, has shown us, it's great to have assets. And as long as you have assets, you're in position to maybe pull off a James Harden type deal where you can get a star who's exasperated by a franchise that won't pay him the max or something like that. So I think the Clippers are in great position going forward. And let's hope that this summer is as bountiful as it was last year, considering the circumstances of having to trade Chris Paul. And I'm happy Chris Paul is doing well. The Rockets can really win a title now. I mean, Steph Curry is hurt. He has a serious injury. They could win a championship. As much as I hate James Harden, I like a few of those guys. So, yeah, it's been an interesting season. Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of Clippers fans are probably rooting for the Rockets in the playoffs, especially if the Clippers don't make it, obviously. I know I will be. Like, not just Chris Paul, but Luke Mbamute, who is just, even though he was only on the team for 2 years, just made such an impact on a lot of us, I think. And, I think seeing the Warriors lose before the finals would be nice. Seeing just any other NBA Finals matchup would be fantastic, because I really just don't want Warriors-Cavs part 4. It's just the most boring outcome possible, especially since the Cavs, I just don't think they have any chance at all this year if the Warriors are healthy. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's exciting. I think Clippers fans can really probably enjoy the playoffs this year even without being in it. I know I'm going to be watching just because I'm a diehard NBA fan, but you can root for the Rockets, for Paul and Mbamute. You could root just against the Warriors or against the Thunder because we have a lot of beef with those teams still. You could pick an Eastern Conference squad to root for. I bet a lot of people are going to be jumping on the Sixers bandwagon running into the playoffs, and honestly don't really blame them. Anybody but the Celtics, that's another good one. like, there's a lot to enjoy. There's obviously, if they don't make the playoffs, there's the draft lottery, because for one thing, they need to hope the Pistons doesn't jump so that the Clippers will get it. And they can hope the Clippers pick to leap, and they have top three picks. So the lottery will be exciting, and then there's going to be a lot of prospects to catch up on YouTube videos and articles and breakdowns and all that stuff. So I think really the rest of the season, the Clippers making it or not, should be fun. And, you know, it's just been an interesting year, I think. And the Clippers have maybe been an afterthought, but at the same time, I think people will remember Lou Williams' year and to a lesser extent Montrezl Harrell's, maybe just because of how remarkable those guys have been. And I will remember Montrezl Harrell dunking on people for like the rest of time this season.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been fun. But what do you think about the Clippers' playoff chances here? We've talked about this just about every week now, and every week it changes a little bit. And this win was big, but it's still probably not enough. They're 2 back of the playoffs. Utah, I think, is winning against a very beaten-down Warriors team. They're still game behind the Nuggets just for 9th. And at this point, I think just about every team but the Timberwolves, Jazz, and Nuggets can kind of be forgotten about. I don't think the Spurs are going to slip. Don't think the Pelicans are. Thunder and Blazers are way ahead. So at this point, I think the concerns can narrow just to those 3 teams. Do you think the Clippers they need to catch 2 of them. Do you think there's any possibility that 2 of the Jazz, Timberwolves, and Nuggets fall behind the Clippers?
Probably. I do think the Clippers have a chance with the Nuggets just with how inconsistent the team has been. And in fairness, in the beginning of April, in those first 7 days, they have games against the Spurs, against the Jazz, against the Nuggets, none on a second game of a back-to-back. So really, if the Clippers can kind of have a strong next few games, which they absolutely could, they have a game against Milwaukee, which, you know, is not a given, and Giannis is back and he's playing well. They have a game at Phoenix. They have a huge game at Portland, which they possibly could win. That's a 3rd game in 4 nights, though. And then they have another game after that against the Indiana Pacers again, which they'll probably be thinking revenge. Then after that, it's going to be another big trio of games against the Spurs, Jazz, and Nuggets. So really, it's just a matter if the Clippers can survive these next few games, maybe, and then maybe a lot of their destiny will be in their own hands and they'll have a chance, but it's very, very slim. 2 losses back, and I don't think they don't have the season series against the Spurs. They do against the Nuggets. And I forget if they have it against the Jazz. I can't remember off the top of my head. It might have been tied or something like that, or they might have lost the season series. But they do have it against the Nuggets, and they don't have it against the Spurs. So the Nuggets, who you just never know what you're going to get. The Jazz, who look like a world beater right now. I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine the Jazz missing the playoffs now that they're healthy again. And the Spurs, who I think are still vulnerable, but they won the season series against the Clippers. So it's very unlikely to me. It's nice that we can watch the Clippers and have some sort of mini excitement for the end of the season. But it's very unlikely to me that they can win, that they can make it to the playoffs. And to be honest, it's probably better for them just to go for that 10th seed at this point and just kind of boost their lottery chances. That's about it. I mean, I just find it very, very unlikely. But it's nice to have something to watch for. This last string of games really just did the Clippers in. And the West, everybody out West is playing so well for the most part. It's just hard to bank on teams losing at this point. So, yeah, I just find them very, very slim, their playoff hopes.
Yeah, I think that basically sums it up. I don't know if we really need to break down their upcoming schedule. It's a little bit easier than it has been the past couple weeks. They're home against Milwaukee on Tuesday, then they're at Phoenix. That's really the easiest game on Wednesday, even though it is the second night of a back-to-back. Then at Portland Friday, that'll be really tough. And then they're home 4 of their last 6 games, and they're against playoff teams, but not really world beaters. So hopefully they can do pretty well. I think at the bare minimum, they need to go like 7-2 to have a good shot at the playoffs. That'll give them 46 wins. I really don't think they get there. You can't count this team out, I guess. The biggest games will be against the Jazz on Thursday the 5th and home against the Nuggets on the 7th. Those are, if they can do okay in the next five games before then, those will be the two really swing matchups. But yeah, I don't see them winning enough games down the stretch to pull this off. And it'll be a little sad for me. I think it's still good that they're getting a higher pick with a chance to get into the lottery. We'll get into the top three, I guess. But I would feel bad for the players who've given it their all this season. Yeah, do you have anything else to talk about? Are you ready to go into questions? Anything else to mention about the Clippers?
What do you think about the Bobby-Montrezl Harrell duo the Clippers have been running out at times? It worked pretty well today against the Raptors, but the Raptors are pretty slow-footed up front. Have you changed your mind at all about how those two can play together? Just out of curiosity watching this last game.
I still think I'm the same. I think it's matchup dependent. Like today was definitely a good matchup because the Raptors do play two actual big men with Siakam and Pirtle, and they're both, you know, neither one of them is like really slow, but they're also not super fast either, like a Montrez. So it was a good matchup opportunity for that. I don't think it's something worth doing every single night. I do wonder if especially with Gallinari coming back, there's just not going to be as many minutes for power forward for Trez. Yeah. They'll have to play more center. Yeah. So I think that'll kind of come to an end anyway. But I think I'd be shocked if Harrell isn't on the team next season and Bobby still has a contract next season and it's going to be hard to move. So I do think we probably will see some of them next year, but if Gallinari does in fact come back on Tuesday, and if Wallace comes back as well, because he will push some of the small forward minutes up as well, I really don't think they're gonna play together again this year, except maybe in another weird desperation situation where they're down 20 and Doc is looking for something.
Yeah. Okay, we can go into questions.
Okay, so we have a bunch. Some of them will be shorter or longer to answer than others. One of them from We Going to Rusky Land. With help on the way, I think Sin should continue to get real minutes because he's earned it. Do you agree? And do we have to win out now to get the best possible shot at the playoffs? I don't think they have to win out, but that would probably be helpful. There's no chance they win out anyway. I don't think they have to win out. As for Thornwell, that's tough. I really like what he's done, but Wallace is better than he is. And with Austin and Lou and Milos, it's going to be tough to get Thornwell minutes. I think he could still get a handful here and there, but it's going to get reduced significantly. So, yeah, that's basically my answer. I really like what Thornwell's done. I don't know if there's room for him this year. I think he's definitely a guy that the Clippers can look into building into their future plans to some extent, but I'm not sure he's really doing enough on offense to warrant minutes down the stretch here.
Yeah, pretty much the same. I mean, it's tough because Wallace is clearly he's a guard in most lineups. He should probably, unless we're going small, then maybe he can play some small forward. And Wallace already can't shoot. So if Wallace is playing, it's hard to play Thornwell with him at any time, even though that would be a quality defensive lineup. I guess you could play them in spurts together. But really, Wallace is back. If Wallace comes back and he's a guard, we already have Lou, Austin, Milos, Evans also in the back there who probably won't get many minutes. That's already four guards, really, ahead of Sin. So I love what Thornwell does. I'm a big Sindarius Thornwell fan. I think that he can very much be a future part of this team. There's even a chance that next year won't be a huge part, but if we do keep Austin. But, you know, after that, Milos might be gone. Beverly might be gone. I mean, there's definitely a role for him in the future, him and Evans. So it'll be interesting to see what the Clippers do, but I don't know how many minutes he's going to get if this team is relatively healthy. And no knock on him. He's just not quite ready yet. And I have no doubt that Sindarius is going to take like 1,000 threes a day in the offseason. I think he'll work really hard on his game, and he has a motor. I think he will be a player in this league. It's just probably not going to be able for him to show it this year. And honestly, with the kind of defense he plays, I mean, I'm just happy that he's on the team, that he's a prospect. So I'm happy to have Thornton on the team, but I just don't know if he's ready to be a featured player on a healthy Clipper team just yet. And it's not the worst thing, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, he's not super young, but he's young enough that he doesn't really need these minutes this year to grasp a future on this team. I'm not worried about him. I don't think the Clippers are worried about his feelings with not getting minutes or getting minutes or whatever. Okay, the next question is from Twitter friend at BimThrifty, and this is an interesting one. If Tobias Harris demanded a contract extension this offseason, what is the highest contract he would be willing to offer for the Clippers? I will let you go first on this one.
Oh, that's tough. You wouldn't want to max out Tobias Harris, nor do I really think that he's a guy that feels like he deserves the max right now. Maybe his agent, if his agent is very ambitious, would say that. But I think Tobias, at the very least, warrants like a 15, 16 million year or so, $15-16 million a year type deal right now. I mean, he is probably that good, honestly. The guy is averaging like 20 and what is he, like 20 and 7 and 3 or so since he's been a Clipper. He's been really, really good. And you know, if you just take a little look at his numbers, he's just been fantastic since he's been a Clipper, even better than he was when he was a Piston. He was already pretty good as a Piston. So it's hard for me to say that he's anything worth kind of a bit under a max type of player at this point. And I mean, he's been just fantastic. It's hard to say. It's hard to say right now. It's hard to say. I think he's just crazy good. he's better than I thought he would be. And I feel like that's saying something, because I thought he would be good. I wanted Harris last offseason. I thought Harris would be the perfect small forward, whatever, small forward type player that the Clippers have been missing all this time. And, you know, to an extent, he kind of is. And he's been just incredible as a Clipper. I'm looking at his stats, like, officially. He's been 19.5, 6.5, and 3. And he's shooting 47% from the field, 41% from three, 83% from the line. And he barely turns it. He only turns it over a little bit less than 2 times a game. He's been an underrated passer. You know, this is not a great comparison because Kenny Thomas totally fell off afterwards. But I remember when Kenny Thomas went to the Sacramento Kings after they traded Chris Webber. And he had like a triple-double one game, and he played so well because he was absorbing a lot of the Chris Webber-type plays, and I had him on my fantasy team, so he was particularly memorable for me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I do think you can run a lot of the Blake Griffin-type stuff for Harris, but not just that. You can run a lot of different things for him, too, where he can get the ball off of screens and run off the ball and do a lot of things from three. But at the same time, you can run a lot of Blake stuff for him, where you can put him in the post, especially against smaller players. You can kind of get him to get some sort of continuity with DJ and get some of those. He had a really nice lob, mid-court lob pass to DeAndre today, where DeAndre had a reverse dunk. It was one of the highlights of the game. Like, you can already see him kind of picking up on DJ's little tendencies. And I don't think Tobias is just like, well, run everything we've been running for Blake and he'll be good, and that's inflating his stats. I think he's just legitimately good. And people respect his three, and nobody respects Blake's three, and they won't, because they're not going to for at least a couple of years until he can really prove that he's like a spot shooter. And just his wind up, and you know, I feel like this is kind of an underrated part. A lot of people love to say, well, Blake is shooting well, or Lukumba Mute is shooting well, or Thornwell has a decent percentage. But it really makes a big deal when you set and you take forever to shoot, because teams are going to be less likely to be up on you. Whereas Tobias Harris, if he runs off a curl off a screen to the perimeter and pops, you're terrified of it, because he has such a quick release that he just brings so much more gravity towards him as a three-point shooter. He's a good player. And I think one of the few things he needs to work on is those little tricks in getting to the line, because he obviously doesn't get to the line too much. But aside from that, the guy's pretty complete. It's pretty incredible. Even defensively, he's better than I thought he would be. So I don't know. Is he a max player? Would you?
No.
I feel like if you're going to give him the max, like, you might as well just wait on him. I figure the best thing to do now, extension-wise, is to give him like a 16 or so million, 15 to 16 million a year deal for 5 years, just to get that out of the way. and kind of buy a little low, not terribly different than what a lot of teams try and do around this time. What do you think, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, I'm somewhere in between there. I don't think he's worth a max. I don't think his agent would really ask for a max, but I think 15 or 16 is too low. I'd say if we're talking just pure money, probably like 20, 21 million-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still young. I'd be willing to give him 4 years. So like four for 84, maybe, or 4 for 80 if you want to make it neat. I think I would offer him that. Just based on the prospect, he might continue to improve a little bit, but probably not a full max, because a full max for him would be, what, like 25, 26 million? I don't think he's worth that, and I don't think the Clippers can afford to pay him that much. So we'll see. I'd say 20 million for like 4 years is about what I'm willing to offer.
Yeah, I'm shortballing him a bit, but yeah, I think 20 million. If I saw tomorrow that he was spending 20 million for 4 years, I'd be happy. I think he's really good right now, and there's a chance he could be better. He's improved every year for the last few years. He's a good player. So, and I think he's very modern in a lot of ways that the Clippers were missing for so many years. You almost kind of wonder how Tobias Harris would look in a Chris Paul Clipper team, just out of curiosity's sake. But so he's an interesting player, that's for sure. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, the next question is from another friend, at this Lewis underscore, which is, who's going to pay Austin? And this one, if it's who's going to pay Austin, I think the Clippers are going to make an offer. He is an unrestricted free agent, so obviously his team, his agency is going to be in contact with other teams. I think there's several teams that he makes a good fit for. I don't know about contract situation or the team situation in relation to the cap, but good contending teams with a need for scoring off the bench or a hole at shooting guard might sign him. Honestly, the Sixers going after him, taking another Clippers shooting guard might work, because Redick was on a one-year deal and Austin is younger, and his ball handling would be helpful on that team because they don't have that many ball handlers. They could probably use a better pure shooter than him. Maybe they actually might be a contender for a guy like Avery Bradley. But Austin, I think the Clippers are probably going to re-sign him. I think they're going to pay him about what he's worth. I think they're going to try to keep him. And I think they can offer him a bigger role than most teams can, because I think on most teams he would be a bench guy, maybe getting 20 to 25 minutes a game. But I think the Clippers, barring something unexpected, or maybe their draft prospect turning into like a complete stud like Donovan Mitchell was this year, I think they can offer him a starting role next year next to Pat Beverly, who will be hopefully back at point guard, and then Lou coming off the bench, maybe with Milos, maybe without. But Austin, I'm thinking, would start again next year if he returns. And I just don't know how many other teams he could start on, much less good teams. So I think the Clippers are going to be the ones to pay him.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of for a long time assuming Austin would leave, that he would get money elsewhere, but you're right. Who's going to really give him the money to be there? The Sixers would be great, and the swag that they would have between Austin Rivers and Joel Embiid would be hilarious. But but I think the Sixers would be an option. And I do think that Austin, you know, I think he fits here. So that's a big deal. And the fact that he'd be starting here, I think, is also a big deal to him. You know, getting out from under his dad's shadow would probably be a big deal for him going elsewhere, but where's he going to start and where's he going to play minutes? And he has a good niche here, and he fights with the guys. He's a Clipper through and through while he's been a Clipper. So, and I do wonder how much he feels like he owes the franchise for helping him rebuild his reputation. So we'll see what Austin does. I do think loyalty is something to him. So I wouldn't mind having Austin back. We'll see what the money figures are. But he's been a very good Clipper. I think he's been worth his contract, every penny of it, since he's been a Clipper. He's been very, very good. So I do kind of lean towards the Clippers signing him as of now, but that could change. We'll see what teams look at him and their roles for him. Because I think if Austin gets the same amount of money on a team that would start him that could make the playoffs anywhere else, he would think about leaving really hard just for the idea of making his own reputation a little bit better. So we'll just see. It really depends on what other teams are offering. But as of now, you look around the league, and this is one of the places where he can really thrive continuously. I mean, he's averaging 16 points a game now this year and 4 assists, and he's shooting great, 38% from three. He really has a quality niche on this team. They don't really have a superstar, particularly that they would want to feed the ball all that much out, you know, beyond him, versus in Philly, you'll have, you know, Embiid, who will be getting the rock in the post all the time. And Simmons, as long as his game, you know, as long as he doesn't get so afraid to go to, you know, shoot free throws or shoot threes, I'd imagine Ben Simmons will be getting better offensively. They have two cornerstones over there that are far and away options beyond Austin. So we'll see. I don't know. I do think right now I would lean towards him signing with the Clippers.
Yeah. Okay. We have a few more. We'll try to keep these a little bit quicker, but we have some good ones here. So from Seth at SlowJ414, what's the status of Ty Wallace and CJ Williams? Do they have a spot on this team next year? Their status right now is that they're going to join the Clippers on Tuesday, and they can play for them for the rest of the regular season. They're not eligible to sign with them to play with them for the playoffs unless the Clippers convert their contract to a regular season contract. That will not happen with Ty Wallace unless they offer him a lucrative-ish extension, and that seems unlikely. It might happen with Williams, who hasn't proven as much and who's older. So I don't know. Even if they do make the playoffs, I don't know if either of them will play. As for next year, the Clippers have given every indication they like both of those guys. I think it seems very unlikely that Ty Wallace will be on another team next year. He's a restricted free agent. The Clippers really like him. He's played so well. He's young. He has a spot on this roster. CJ Williams is a guy who I think of kind of as just a more competent Wes Johnson, in that he's like a great locker room guy, apparently. He's competent enough to play a few minutes at a couple different positions, and he's just overall, he's solid. So actually better than Wes Johnson. But to me, he has like kind of a similar thing in that, like, ideally on a playoff roster, he's probably not actually in the rotation. He's more of an 11th or 12th man. You love to have him on the team. He's great in stopgap stretches. You know, maybe he plays in 55 or 60 games when other players are injured, getting like 10-ish minutes a game. But he's not a guy you probably are going to rely on in the playoffs as part of a shortened rotation. So I think in some ways Williams is maybe even more likely to come back just because he's cheaper. But I think both of them have pretty good odds of being on the Clippers next year. What do you think? Do you think both of them will be back?
I think Wallace will be back. I don't know about Williams, but I definitely think Williams has more of a role on this team next year, but I definitely think Wallace will be back. I think the team would be silly not to give Wallace a deal.
Yeah.
Williams will be interesting. As long as the Clippers are healthy, I mean, between Gallinari, Toby, and just like a very hard-to-kill Wes Johnson, Decker, you hope, will make some strides and be able to also fit into those roles. Harrell and Bobby and DJ, if DJ comes back, they're all center players. So between Decker, Johnson, Gallinari, and Tobias, those are pretty much the players who are going to be playing at the wing with some small ball. But CJ Williams has definitely been a competent player. I don't know. I'm not so certain about him just because he has less upside, and the Clippers can maybe think about going elsewhere for him. Ty Wallace looks really, really good. We'll see. I think Wallace will be back. I don't know about Williams. Not sure.
Yeah, I think I'd overall agree with that. Next question is from @Angela_is_. With two potential lottery picks, who do you all think is gone this summer? This is really tough. I'm not sure what the market will be. Right now, I'd guess that just from everybody on the team right now, Bradley is the most likely to be gone, and maybe Milos after that. And it's really hard to think because the young guys are probably not going to leave. Sam Decker, I guess, or does he have a contract next year? I think he does, actually.
I think he does, yeah.
But, so I don't know. They won't be able to trade him, and I don't think they're just going to cut him. So, yeah, I'd say Bradley and Milos are probably the two most likely to be elsewhere. DJ probably third if he opts out and decides he wants more security and the Clippers don't want to pay him long term. So I'd say Bradley, Milos, DJ in that order. And then it would make sense if two guards are gone, if the Clippers drafted a guard, like we're talking about a bigger guard who can also play some wing, and then a younger big man who could hopefully become the starting center of the future one day, because there are a lot of big men in this draft. So I think probably in that order, Bradley, Milos, DJ. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Bradley's gone. I know Doc likes him, but with this makeup of the team right now, Milos has signed for next year for $6 million.
He has a player option.
Oh, it's a player option? Okay. So if he has a player option, I am guessing he would take it at this point,
mm-hmm.
but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Milos most likely will be staying with the Clippers. DeAndre and Rivers, of course, both have player options that they're going to opt out of, and they'll test the markets, and we'll see if they come back. I think Harrell will demand money next year, so I think he'll come back to the Clippers, but he'll get offers. He's played incredibly this year. Even maybe a team like the Rockets would come hard at him to come back and play for them, because I know they liked him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think Harrell, I'm assuming Harrell will be back to an extent, but like, it's not completely for certain. And the fact that the Clippers have Bobby at least as kind of insurance, maybe to play behind DJ, if DJ does come back, then there's a chance that Harrell could be swept up somewhere and taken away.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bradley most likely will be gone. And I think Harrell has a chance of being gone as well. I think Milos will be back most likely. Wes Johnson we're stuck with. Decker is back for cheap next year at 2.7 million. So, and of course Evans and Thornwell have another 2 years on deck. So, you know, I think, you know, it's outside of the big guys like DJ and Austin, who will, I'm sure, entertain offers. I think Bradley will be gone. I think teams will come hard at Harrell. So I'm not completely for sure that he's going to come back at this point.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think it's really tough to tell. Bradley feels like the only player who seems pretty likely to be gone. After that, it's really a toss-up depending on if Rivers and Milos opt out and what their contracts look like. And then, well, and DJ, I guess, because the Clippers just have a lot of players with opt-outs this year. And whether they opt in or out and what kind of offers they get will really determine everything. And it's tough to say at this point. I'd say the team is probably mostly the same next year, though. I think there's going to be a couple turnovers. They're going to obviously add a couple guys in the draft, but it's going to be a lot of the same team. And I think honestly, that's a good thing. So I'm fine with it. Most of the team being back next year. The next question is from @BigCityChillin, which is that he thinks Doc Rivers is getting stagnant as the head coach. And should they hire David Fizdale? I don't really think Doc has been stagnant. I think he's been really good this year. I think there is an argument to be made that even though he's had a good time this season, he might not want to stick around through like a really long rebuild. I think that is possible, but I tend to think he's had a great time this year and he's coached really well and he's going to be back. Fizdale is intriguing, but he also has a pretty short track record as a head coach. I mean, he was head coach of the Grizzlies for what, a year and like 2 weeks. And while he's beloved by the media and a lot of players really liked him, especially on the Heat, like LeBron and Bosh and Wade mm-hmm. all have had nothing but good things to say. His track record as a head coach is really small, and he wasn't playing with a young up-and-coming roster. So it really depends on what direction the Clippers go. If they do, like if Rivers and Milos and DJ leave and the Clippers are all of a sudden kind of a younger rebuilding team, I think it's more likely Doc might be gone as well. But Fizdale is nice. He's like a good option if they do move on from Doc, but I can't really say that I think Doc will be gone next year. I think a year or two after that, there's more of a chance that they're just going with some fresh blood.
Yeah. I think Doc has earned his keep absolutely this year. So anybody that says Doc is overrated, blah, 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 they haven't been watching the Clippers this year. That dude gets players to play for him. So you got to admire that with Doc. It's just really a matter of what he feels. I do think that Doc has enjoyed himself this year as well. So I think as long as he's into staying, he'll stay. But really, where is he going to go? It's not really many teams that there's been a lot of consistency amongst playoff teams, aside from, like, I don't know, like the Bucks and who else. A lot of teams like their coaches. So I can't see Doc going over for, like, greener pastures to take a line that was used the Chris Paul era. But I don't know if Doc's going to quite do that, because there aren't greener pastures to be had right now. You know, it's funny seeing Dwayne Casey always kind of reminds me of an alternate route the Clippers could have taken when there was between Vinny Del Negro and Dwayne Casey. I always remember that either or, and virtually everybody, at least on Clips Nation, wanting Casey for the most part because of just not a great track record for Vinny Del Negro. So I always kind of remember that Casey's built a great reputation in the league and has a very good chance at Coach of the Year for that manner. So it is kind of interesting seeing Casey again today, just kind of wondering, well, what would the Clippers have looked like? You know, what would have changed, you know, if Doc wasn't head coach, if the Clippers, you know, you never know, maybe the Clippers would have beaten the Grizzlies that year and would have beaten a beaten up Thunder team, and then maybe would have given it a run for the finals that year. They had a great team that Bledsoe year, and Chauncey Billups and all that year, that they had a real chance. They had that great 17-game winning streak. You never know. With Casey at helm, they could have been better, and maybe Doc never ends up as a Clipper, and maybe even Neil O'Shea stays. Who knows? There's a lot of things that could have happened if Casey became the Clippers head coach, and always wonder a little bit how it could have been held. Though, you know, you never know. Chris Paul might have wanted the name, the gravitas of Doc Rivers anyways. So it is just kind of reminded me of that time where the Clippers were at a crossroads for a coach, and apparently Del Negro really wowed Donald Sterling at a dinner and kind of clinched the deal. So whatever.
I think all that is fair. You know, there are some question marks, but I think Doc has earned the right to a little bit of job security. Okay, two more here. So one more from Skyfall at Polarfall. Because Doc Rivers' offense is designed on quick high pick and rolls and early offense, and they don't have a real starting point guard with a super great handle this year, do you think that the Clippers might pick a point guard if they have the 12th or 13th pick? I think it really depends on who's there. I could see them drafting Colin Sexton if he's available. I don't think Trae Young will be there that late. If he is, I think they might draft him. But, and I think point guard is a possibility. I mean, right now, Lou Williams can play some point guard. He's going to be there next year. Milos is a point guard. He's probably, but he's a good chance of being there. There's a possibility Austin. Then you have Juwan Evans. You have Tyron Wallace. None of those guys is really a starting point guard, but then you remember that Pat Beverly will be back as well, and he doesn't necessarily fit that quick offense with high pick-and-roll usage, but he's really good, and the Clippers could have used him so much this year, and I think he'll have every opportunity to start at point guard next year. Maybe they get a real point guard and move him to shooting guard and let Milos and Austin walk because they can play Beverly more at shooting guard. I don't know, but I don't think they probably draft a point guard, really. It depends who's available. I would take a shot on Trae Young, though, if he fell that far, regardless of the point guard situation.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just – I mean, I don't think the Clippers really have a huge need at point guard amongst all these players that they have that can handle the ball. Pat Beverly being back will be a big deal. And it's a good point about the early high screen role for Doc, but it's – I just think that the team is loaded with guards right now. And Lou has shown to be very efficient at pick and roll offense. So I don't think that he's been particularly bad at setting up, especially DJ off a pick and roll. So, I mean, I'm not too stressed about that specific aspect. You know, Trae Young, I do think is worth taking a stab at just for all the upside that he has. I do think the Clippers should just take whoever's best. And I trust the front office right now as far as who they're going to pick in the draft. So we'll see. We'll really see. And, you know, from then onwards, I think it's just going to be a matter of if a rookie is super good, they'll just play their way into the rotation. And whoever suffers because of that, you know, the team, you know, as great as the team is, they're very balanced. They don't have any stars, but they're also very balanced. They don't have any stars. So if a rookie sweeps up one of the spots, you're not going to cry too much. Lou Williams is probably the best player on this team, and he doesn't even start. So,
yeah, I mean, I think all that makes sense. Okay, the draft is just such an iffy quandary at this point because we don't even know what the draft lottery is yet, much less like who the Clippers might be targeting at this point. All the mock drafts are just complete guesswork. So guessing picks is really, I think it's just complete guesswork at this point. Yeah, it's impossible. I know who I'd like them to pick, but the draft always ends up being weird. I think there's once every 5 years, there's a draft that goes chalk and everybody is like, oh, wow, that makes sense. Like, we all thought they were going to pick this person. But most years, somebody completely screws it up by like the fifth or sixth pick and all of a sudden guys are dropping and there's all this, you know, action going on and teams are making trades. I think the Clippers might trade up to get a higher pick if they really like a guy who falls a little bit. Like, if a guy falls to seven who they didn't think would be available there, they might offer their two picks to get there. It's impossible to say. So the final question here from buddy Anthony Kokonos is, has Montrez proved himself enough to warrant the Clips trusting him next year? Yes. I think that's a very simple, he's freaking incredible. I mean, I think there are, if you're talking about, do you think he can play like 25 to 30 minutes a game as like a starting center? I just don't know, because I don't know if his energy will hold up that long. And I think a lot of bigger players will just rebound over him and shoot over him despite his effort and activity. But you're talking about paying him as like one of the premier bench players in the entire NBA as your third big man. Like, yes, he is absolutely like he completely outplayed Poeltl and Siakam today. And they're considered two of the best young big men in the league. He's so good. Every time he and Lou Williams run a pick and roll, I think they're going to score. Every time he catches the ball in the post, it doesn't matter who's guarding him. If he catches it within 8 feet of the basket, I think he's going to score. So, yeah, he's not a perfect player. He can't shoot. His passing and playmaking is incredibly limited. He makes bad decisions a lot on offense when he tries scoring, and there's really no path to the hoop, and he should pass. But it really doesn't matter. He's an absolute beast, and I'd be really surprised if they let him go. Unless some team pays him, like, a starting center and offers him, like, if some team is like, we're going to pay you 3 years, like, $60 million or something crazy, like, I don't think they're going to match. But I think they'll probably pay up to, like, $10 million for him, maybe even a little bit more, and I think he's earned it. He's still young enough to improve a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big supporter of Harrell. I think he's good. He's quite good. He's an elite bench player, absolutely. So I don't think he's a great starter. I think he can spot start. It would be nicer if he could spot start on a team that had probably a little bit more of a dominant point guard, like Chris Paul. But he is fantastic as a backup. He is damn near dominant as a backup, as he's shown time and time again. I think he's a fantastic backup player. So I think he's worth paying as a backup player. I'm just worried that a team is going to try and pay him a lot of money, even as a backup player. We'll see. But I think he's a great fit on this team. I think he likes the team. I think he's really good. Like, I didn't know he was this good. I knew he was good even. When I watched the Rockets, like, I'm like, that guy's a really good player. But his offensive game is, in the half court, is better than I thought it would be. And yeah, he makes bad decisions, but whatever. When you're playing with the second unit, sometimes it's okay to make a bad decision or two. And so I think he's very, very good. So I would love for him to be a Clipper for a long time because I think he's super good. The Jazz are up by like 20-something in Golden State. That sucks.
Yeah, that's bad. I mean, the Jazz schedule is super easy down the stretch, so it's very unlikely the Clippers catch them. They're playing so well. They're just dominant when they have Mitchell and Gobert in, and their defense is really good. So I don't think they catch them. I think their best bet is the Nuggets continue to struggle and the Timberwolves fall off without Butler. But yeah, I think that's all the questions. Good batch of questions today. There's just so many things to talk about in regards to the Clippers right now, whether you want to talk about playoffs, talk about future of their roster, draft picks, all that stuff. And next week, we should have a pretty definitive answer on the playoffs. They have three more games, and that's, at this point, a third of the season left. So if they go 0-3 or 1-2, you know, it'll be over. 2-1, 3-0, I guess they'll still be in it. But the season is nearing to a close, which is always really sad for me. Even with the draft to look forward to this year, it's just always depressing knowing a few months without NBA, without Clippers basketball, I guess, are coming, because there will obviously be NBA basketball for two more months. But I guess my final question to you is, if the Clippers don't make the playoffs, who is your team going to be to root for? Maybe leaving aside the Rockets because of Paul and Luke. Is there any other team you're going to roll with in the playoffs if the Clippers don't make it?
You know, I really hate James Harden. So I think I'll root semi for the Rockets a little, but I really hate James Harden. Like, I really hate watching him play basketball. Like, even trumps my love for Chris Paul, Mbamute, and of course, Eric Gordon. But man, I hate watching him play. Like, I really just with a visceral hatred whenever I watch him handle the basketball. It's terrible. Like, I hate watching him play. So I don't even know how much I would root for the Rockets, taking them aside. I'll root for the Sixers in the East. I love Embiid. Mm-hmm. I love Simmons. I like J.J. Redick still. I'm happy that he hasn't bashed the Clippers yet on his podcast. I still listen to it. So I think I'll be rooting for the Sixers out East. You know, I think ideally my favorite thing that could happen in the playoffs would be the Warriors losing, maybe in the second round to whoever. The Rockets losing in the finals to the Cavs. I think that would be my favorite thing. I want LeBron to win another championship. I think he's that important to the league. I think he's just like a really, really important player. And I think he deserves another title. I get really tired of the entire rings mantra that LeBron hasn't won enough rings, so he's not the second best player in the NBA history. It's hard for me to talk about NBA history, but as far as modern NBA goes, LeBron is clearly the best player in the league, but Kobe stands. And even Tim Duncan fans for that point will be like, well, he hasn't won as many rings as Bryant or Duncan.
Oh,
come on, man. He's the best player I've ever watched play basketball for an elongated period of time. So I think I just want him to win so he can get another ring under his belt. And I think his legacy deserves at least another a fourth championship. So I kind of am rooting for the Cavs a bit. I wouldn't mind to see the Raptors make the finals if it wasn't the Cavs. Just for the kind of Clippers North mantra, like you mentioned in your preview about them, it would be nice to kind of see them succeed. I like Kyle Lowry. DeMar DeRozan is a LA guy. That would be kind of nice to see. Aside from that, you know, I do kind of want the Cavs to win a championship, just for LeBron's legacy. And I wouldn't mind seeing the Rockets make it a bit further. I kind of want to see the Jazz be a disruptor in the West just because of how good they played. Aside from that, really, I think my team out East used to be the Wizards, and they've been a little bit less fun to root for these days, and it's the Sixers. So really, I'll be rooting for the Sixers whenever I watch them play. I do also root for Giannis whenever I watch him play, just because I love that dude. Embiid and Giannis are two of my favorite players. So I'll be rooting for both those guys. And aside from that, out West, I don't know. I don't really like anybody out West, to be honest.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it'll be hard rooting for anybody out West. I think I really don't like the Jazz. I hate a lot of their fans. Their media guys are actually okay, but their fans are really annoying on Twitter. So I don't want to root for them. I'll root
now,
for
Jamal.
Now,
what about Z-Dog? Shout out to Z-Dog.
I'll root for the Wolves just because they've had such a bad team history.
That's true.
They're kind of similar to the Clippers in many ways. Mm-hmm. You know, I always root for Jamal Crawford. And then
the
Sixers. I also, the Wizards have just been kind of a disaster this year for the most part. I'll still hope that they win. I hope they and the Sixers don't play each other in the first round. Out East, I guess Raptors, Sixers, Wizards, any one of those teams doing well would be good. Hopefully all three. I can't be mad at LeBron winning. I just can't. He's the best player I've ever seen. It's not close. I was obviously too young to watch Jordan. What he's doing with this Cavs team, this wretched Cavs team, is just incredible. Watching him play is mind-blowing. He's still the best player in the NBA when he actually tries. And as good as the Raptors are, I waffle on this like every other day, but I still think the Cavs are probably going to come out of the East, remarkably enough. I think that's probably about it for me. You know, we're going to keep rooting for the Clippers to win games. It's always fun when the team wins, and it would be great if they make the playoffs. But if not, they're going to have two hopeful lottery picks and more young talent to add to this team. And
hey, man, I mean, what if the Clippers had the 7th seed and played the Warriors without Steph Curry? They would lose. They would get swept. But hey, man.
I don't know if they'd get swept, actually. If they're pretty healthy and they're playing the Warriors without Steph, I think they probably win one game. I think they win one game. But I think there's one game where, like, Lou Williams goes off. But, yeah, I mean, they have nobody to guard Durant. Nobody has anybody to guard Durant, but the Clippers really don't. He would probably
average 40 a game. Who guards Montrezl Harrell, though, is my question.
Zaza will cripple him.
Zaza will injure Montrezl Harrell without a shadow of a doubt, without a moment of hesitancy. He will injure Montrezl Harrell.
Oh God! I don't want to play the Warriors now. I wouldn't want to play them. Zaza will just injure our players.
Yeah, is Zaza worse than Bogut?
Oh yeah.
Man.
Well, actually, as a person, probably not, because Bogut just has some really reprehensible political stuff. But as a dirty player. I think Bogut was just dirtier in, like, the regular of, like, shoving and grabbing and, like, just regular stuff. But Zaza's injury proclivities is just – that's just dangerous stuff. Like, God, that guy is the worst.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. It would be so Clippers if they sneak in to, like, the 8th seed and then they get crippled by Zaza. Like, he just destroys Harrell's ACL and knocks Lou Williams' ankles out, and then all of a sudden they're screwed for next season. That would be the most Clippers possible result, of all of this. it's been a fun season, but it's still the pessimism always creeps in.
I think I am kind of rooting for Kawhi to come back and beat the Rockets in the first round. That would be very entertaining to me. That would be very, very
entertaining. I don't think that's happening.
It won't happen, but that would entertain me. Yeah.
I think that's it for me.
I think that's it for this episode of the Love, the Jam, the podcast. Of course, as always, we'll be back with you guys soon. Leave us a review on iTunes and keep listening. And as always, go Clippers!
Austin thought about the free ball, but lob again! Was it a perfect pass, but a perfect reception? Sixth board, Rivers the free ball. Bingo! Back to Austin. Thought about it. Still thinking about it.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
In my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.